All right, Buck, back into the Longhorn conversation for the morning. You know, Texas added a couple of players from the portal yesterday, but they got some good news with Trevor Goosby announcing that he's returning, Connor Robertson announcing that he's returning, but also a couple of portal withdrawals as well. Edge rusher Zeno Umeozulu, we talked about him a little bit, just finished his redshirt freshman season, a couple of sacks here in 2025. He's coming back. And also Kobe Black, the corner, who had an interception against Texas A&M and played really well in that final game of the regular season. He is coming back to Texas for 2026.
So found some more money in the coffers, did they?
I guess so. We'll take it, whatever the reason is.
Whatever the reason is, yeah. You don't, yeah,
I agree. Obviously, the Longhorns have lost a lot of their depth because of the exports in the transfer portal. And again, this is something we talked about last week, right? It's a philosophy change in terms of how Texas is spending their money, but also in terms of how Texas is building their roster. You know, the original thought and basically assumption was, okay, you're going from 85 scholarships to 105 scholarships. That means you're going to have more quality players on your roster. But it almost feels like Texas is like, now we're just going to spend our money on 50 to 60 really good players. So like an NFL size roster. So we've got starters and we've got twos and some threes.
Sure.
But instead of like paying for fours and fives to sit on the bench, we're going to have some of those guys, of course, but we're not going to spend our money there. We're going to pay for starters and immediate.
We need production. We need production from guys.
Right. So Texas has obviously lost a lot of their deeper bench guys. And, you know, they were seemingly going to lose Kobe Black and Zeno Umeozulu, who I think are rotational pieces. I don't think they're fourth team guys. I think those are guys who would Absolutely. Be part of things in 2026. So I'm glad they were able to talk
about those are players that you need. You couldn't, those aren't guys that you could lose and say, oh, it's no big deal. Those were both big deals.
Yeah. I mean, as it stands, like, I don't think either of those guys are starters as things stand right now. But with Kobe Black at corner, I mean, he's maybe your number three corner.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dude that's just one ankle sprain away from being in there playing in games.
Right. And I mean, you rotate guys at that position anyways.
Sure.
But you're right. Like, he's, yeah, an ankle sprain away from being a starter for this team.
Right.
And then Zena, you know, Colin Simmons and I think Lance Jackson are your starters at edge. I do feel like the Longhorns are in the market for another edge. But again, as it stands right now, Zena is like a number two edge rusher on your team.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe Black is going to battle for – is going to battle – to be the starter, period. Anyway, he's going to, if the other guy doesn't just absolutely just beat him out, he's going to be right in the thick of things all year long anyway.
It's a good point because the two guys who I'm kind of placing ahead of Kobe Black right now, one of them's a transfer with Bo Masco.
Right.
I think he's very good.
You don't know what you're going to get from Rutgers.
Multi-year starter. I think he's very good. You don't, but I do. But he's still a transfer, so he's got a earn his respect in his spot here.
Yeah, he's got to know the defense and what they're doing. You're right.
Sure. And then the other guy is Cade Phillips, who just wrapped up his true freshman year, who is very good. I think he's the future of the cornerback spot at Texas, but we're still talking about a guy who didn't start most of this year and will be going into his second year of college football.
Sure.
So it's not like he's sitting behind, you know, Manny Muhammad and Jahdae Barron in their senior years. It's a transfer and a rising true sophomore that he's competing with. So yeah, like he's got the shot to be a huge part of the Texas defensive backfield.
For sure.
I love it. By the way, because I know you're curious, some Texas exports have announced where they are going next year.
Oh yeah.
CJ Baxter. You got a guess, Buck?
Duke is Duke.
Kentucky. You were trying to place him at – oh, no, it was Jarrett Gibson. You were trying to place at FAMU.
Yeah, they're going to be disappointed in Kentucky. They're getting a plow horse.
That's your guy, Will Stein, former Lake Travis offensive coordinator.
Not good.
Okay. They've spent a lot in the portal. They are really trying to upgrade their roster. CJ Baxter headed to Lexington. Also, Bo Barnes headed to Lexington, the Texas linebacker who hit the portal early last week. Then there were some reports midway through the week that said Will Muschamp was trying to talk him off the ledge. Didn't happen. Visits Kentucky. Commits to Kentucky. So there's two Longhorns who will be in Lexington this fall. Jamie French, the wide receiver, transferring to Michigan. If you can't beat them, take their players, I guess, is what the Wolverines are trying to do.
Can we switch, give him and get an offensive lineman? Let's make a switch.
That would have been nice, but that was not the case. So Texas will see Jamie French as it stands in 2027. That's when the Wolverines will make their return trip in that home and home.
We're still playing those. Oh, we're still going to play that game, right?
As of now, still playing those games. Yep. And
we own them. We want to play that. What do you mean? We want those games.
Fine with me. I'll take Michigan. Ohio State this fall, though. Gotta find a way to beat them.
Can we be done with them for a while now?
Gotta find that. That might be one.
Can we beat them and then be done with them?
I would say that might be one versus two, but Indiana might mess around and be preseason number one next year.
They could.
But yes, I would like to mess around and beat them finally. That'd be really nice. Get that game at home. You've got a loaded roster. And I think Texas will be favored in that game.
I don't care. They just win the game. I don't care. Just win the damn game. Them and Georgia, just win it. Win it by one, please.
That would be
beat
nice.
Beat those two teams, period.
Jordan Washington, your guy, Hammerhands. We mentioned
Hammerhands going?
Headed to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And who are we missing? Oh, Trey Owens, quarterback, going to Arkansas State.
Oh, he's going to the Fun Belt.
He's going to the Fun Belt. Yes.
Good for him.
So Trey Owens, we'll always have that 2024 orange-white scrimmage. That was special.
That was special. He was amazing. Thought he'd be the next guy up.
Makes me
obviously
tear up.
He was not.
Makes me tear up just thinking about it, Buck.
Yeah. Arkansas State, good. Go to the Fun Belt, have a good time.
Headed to the Fun Belt right there. So there's the latest on some of the departures and where they are ending up.
Gibson is going to Purdue.
Gibson going to Purdue. I think we talked about Leon Galifau going to Colorado on Friday.
He just wants to continue. He wants to lose. He wants to become a part of a losing regiment now.
Which guy?
Lafau. I mean, really?
Maybe Gibson, too. I guess he's going to Boiler Up.
Yeah, Boiler Up's going to get hammered.
They've lost a lot of games, so.
And they lose a lot of people when they lose. And then they start losing games. They start losing people there.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the first-year coach there, but they lost so many guys the year before. When their last dude got fired, everybody jumped ship there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's
Texas had a defensive player, right? We had a defensive lineman from there.
Yeah, Cole Brevard. Had a great year at Texas. He was one and done. He's out of eligibility, so his Longhorn career is over. But, did his job. Very good interior defensive lineman. Big body, 360 pounds.
What he did was pretty good.
Yeah, in Texas, they added Ian Giffrard, the transfer from Arkansas, who's going to kind of fill that role. And that guy's close to 390 pounds.
Oh, he's a big old dude.
Big dude. 6'5", I think, listed at 389 this past season for the Hogs. Talk about a hog.
Yeah, he's a big one, man.
Yeah, so Texas realizing that, Cole Brevard filled a pretty important role. And that's something, Buck, we've talked about it so much on the show. You've been all over this for a long time. Well, the Longhorns have had an elite run defense.
Yes.
In each of the last 3 years. Obviously, the two playoff years, but they were top 10 against the run here in 2025 as well. So that's been a big part of their success. They don't want to lose that.
Oh, no, they don't want to lose that edge.
One of the first portal pickups that they had was going to get Ian Giffrard to make sure he could plug up the inside and stop the between the tackles run game.
I mean, they've got guys. I mean, you've seen them on Sundays playing on the defensive line all over the NFL. This is the place, actually, you talk about Georgia. If it's not Georgia, Texas has got to be one of those places now that if you play on this defensive line and you're stopping a run, NFL teams seem to like those dudes.
100%. And look, Texas has had more NFL draft picks the last 2 years than anybody in college football.
Yes.
So guys are getting developed here. Obviously, Texas is bringing in a ton of talent, but they are developing that talent into draft picks.
Absolutely.
And, guys obviously want to make their money in college, but most of these guys have aspirations of playing on Sundays. Coming to Texas, not a bad plan if that's the plan. So I like that Ian Giffrard pickup. And again, Texas going after another defensive lineman, an edge rusher with Wendell Gregory. They've already added a bunch. I mean, at this point, how can you not feel confident with what the Longhorns are going
for? Sure.
Number one portal class in the nation, and they are not done. So I feel like we're going to be very satisfied talking about this offensive line. And I feel like, yeah, there's going to be another reinforcement or two or three coming on the defensive side of the ball for Coach Boom as well.
Yeah, as you said, it's kind of that quiet time the next couple of days, but I think we'll pick up as you get closer to the, I think, to the national championship game next week. It'll start to heat up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there'll be some guys that are just got beat in these other games that are like, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back.
And look, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, there's tampering going on all over the country right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
So there are players who aren't in the portal now who, you know, their agents are having conversations and
with their teams and others.
Right. So it's like, man, how much money can you get my client? All right. Yeah, we're going to enter the portal now. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. So, again, tons of names out there, but more to come before this thing.
Well, I just love this wide receiver get. I mean, I like it. I like it for Wingo. I think it takes a lot of pressure off of him. I don't know if he's a pressure guy, you know? I think this takes a lot of pressure off of him.
Yeah,
I hope it doesn't take a lot of concentration off of him, just a lot of pressure.
He doesn't have to be the number one guy, which means he doesn't have to deal with the pressure, but also he doesn't have to go up against number one corners every week.
Right.
Like Cam Coleman is going to draw the most attention from defenses and defensive coordinators.
And, Wingo, if he comes in as a more consistent guy, wow.
Right.
What a duo that could be.
Exactly. And Emmett Mosley, too. Don't sleep on him.
Yeah. I'm still thinking he's going to catch a bunch of balls. Just he's going to be that, you know, I need a hitch for a first down. Throw it to that dude. He's got that catch radius. He'll get it done.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, the Texas weaponry on offense with those three receivers and also the two running backs that they've just brought into the fold. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in America who can boast.
Oh, no. Those are great gets.
And then, of course, you've got Arch Manning at quarterback who finished the year as hot or hotter than any other player at his position in the sport. And I think he's expected to be the best player at his position in the sport in 2026.
For sure.
That's a really good combination, right?
I think that's a legitimate thought now. Last year I thought was, you know, of course, just who he was. The hype was going to be there for that just because of who he was and, you know, his pedigree. But now the legitimate hype is there. You've seen him struggle. You've seen him mature. You see him grow up, and I've seen him have some success.
Yeah, I mean, he finished the year. Look, he was 7-1 in his last eight games, and it wasn't like Texas was beating a bunch of slappies. They had five ranked wins and three top 10 wins in that stretch. And Arch Manning himself, 21 touchdowns to just three turnovers, 63% completion percentage, a bunch of yards through the air and on the ground. Like he clearly turned it around. He turned a corner. And was a different player in the second half, almost like, you know, it helps getting reps. And young quarterbacks in their first year, young guys at any position in their first year are going to have some bumps and bruises and growing pains. Arch just needed a little bit of time. And again, he did all of those things late. Texas still had its worst running game since World War II.
True.
They still had inconsistencies on the offensive line. Still had too many drops at wide receiver.
Too many penalties,
and the quarterback still did all of those great things that we just laid out. So now, hopefully, with better talent around him, again, job's not finished. Got to get some big boys up front, but I expect it to be a better roster of guys around him. What can I do?
A couple more players, BK, in a spring game. It's all good.
I would love to see a spring game. Any word on whether or not we'll have one this year?
No, it's not. That's not happening.
You think it's done?
Yeah, we're going to. Whatever Cignetti's doing, he'll have a spring game, and it won't matter. That thing will have, in their little stadium, they'll have 30,000, so it won't matter. But less practice. Everybody's going to see whatever he's doing there, less practice, less time on the field. Everybody's going to go to that model.
Here's some good news, sir. Indiana football did, in fact, have a spring game in 2025.
Well, they have to. They got to try to collect some, and they probably make them pay. They got to get some money. They had to get some money in their program. They thought they're going to have that 1 year and done. They backed it up with two back-to-back years of great football. So we'll see if they have one this year.
You know who had a spring game last year? Ohio State. You know who had one the year before? Michigan. You know who had one the year before? Georgia. The year before? Georgia. You know, you can win a national championship and have a spring game. Just saying. Matter of fact, I don't know if there's ever been a team in the modern era of college football that
who has won
one without having a spring game.
Let's bring it back. Let's go.
Let's spring it back. Give me the orange wide scrimmage.
You got to see some of these running backs run.
Yeah. There's no post-spring portal window. That was the biggest argument against it, is that there was a second transfer window after spring football concluded, and people were worried that they were going to have players negotiating for new contracts or obviously leaving via the portal. Now that can't happen.
Well, now you're putting your contract players on the field for a spring game. That's a little bit different when you're putting $1.5 million and $2 million guys on the field for 40 minutes of lookout.
And they're not playing for 40 minutes in that game. You get them a couple of drives, couple of plays, and then we're moving on.
Oh my God.
Quarterbacks don't get hurt. Arch Manning's got the non-contact jersey on.
Wear and tear on the body. I'm like, I know it's the beginning and they've had time off. I don't like it. I watched George Kittle tear up his Achilles. That guy's been hurt all year. You know, he's never been healthy the whole season. And to go out there and do that yesterday, that was awful.
How does that apply here?
It just don't know. The less time on the field, the better. I don't need to see him in the spring game. I don't need it.
You've become a corporate shill. You've sold out. Is Sark paying you on the side to say this?
And I'm soft.
God, it's about the fans, sir.
Yes, it used to be about the fans and the ticket prices.
Asking the fans for all this money. Can you give them a? I don't want to wait until September to watch Arch Manning throw.
Hey, I'll give you a couple spring dates that you can come watch practice.
That's fine. And that, I actually asked Chris Del Conte that question last year, because the thing that Texas said when they got rid of the spring game is, well, we're going to an NFL model. And obviously so much of college football is becoming an NFL model these days.
And they let people come to practice.
Training camp all the time. Yeah. I mean, Cowboys go to Oxnard. You can go out there for weeks.
They make their money. They got their gear out there, selling their gear.
When I covered the Texans, like, it wasn't just the media who could go. Fans would go.
Oh, yes.
Their training camp was right outside of NRG. It's right there. So if you're going to – hey, no spring game, that's fine. But how about you open up practice for the fans a little bit?
For spring, you can keep your fall camp shut down.
Give me something. Speaking for the fans here.
I'd be good with spring, watching them in the spring.
What happened to you being a man of the people? Do I need to carry that weight now?
I'm just softer now. I'm just a little softer.
I guess so. But
getting bigger, but starting to be softer. You know what I'm saying?
That's usually not how it works.
No, sorry.
Usually, when it's harder, it's bigger, right?
Yeah.
When you get harder, you get bigger.
Yeah, Viking guy.
Right. Viking guy. No one's ever called me that. I can tell you that much. All right. We'll take your thoughts. There you go. Plenty of Texas football conversation this morning. What a weekend for the Longhorns. Texas fans on cloud nine. Again, on Friday morning when we did this show, Texas's portal class ranked outside of the top 40. Now, on a Monday show, it ranks number one in America.
It is in front of Indiana, too, huh?
It's number one right now. Oh. Job's not finished, obviously. And look, those other schools can add too, but Texas still has work to do. But yeah, quite the turnaround. A total
and keeping the tackle is like just getting a great player out of the portal.
You're right. That's as big or bigger than any other announcement that Texas has had so far. The biggest one was Arch Manning coming back, which we kind of knew that was happening. But most important thing, but yeah, Trevor Goosby announcing that he's sticking around. You love to see it. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. We will go to some Texas basketball chatter. We will go to some NFL playoff chatter. We'll see if the Buck has a gold star lock for the Texans-Steelers game tonight. But before any of that, how about some sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, our friends over at Woods Comfort Systems, you know, as the weather starts to change a little bit, make sure that you're prepared for any of these little slight freezes. I mean, it's been in the 30s the last couple mornings, but make sure that if it gets in the 30s and stays in the 30s, that your heater is prepared. That Woods Comfort Systems folks, they've been doing it for close to 70 years in Central Texas, making sure their mechanics get to you, whether it's plumbing, heating, or air conditioning. And yes, right now they do plumbing, and they do it pretty well. There's no doubt about that. But I know what they do when it comes to air conditioning systems. Mine has been it's a Woods Comfort Systems. They've done this for the last 5 years at my home. They come out twice a year, and their technicians are unbelievable when it comes to getting everything ready to go. And that air conditioning can pop back on at any time, too, because we get those days where all of a sudden the 65s become 75s out of nowhere, and you want your air conditioning working properly, too. But don't take a chance on just getting anybody to do your plumbing. When it comes to your plumbing services, do check out the folks at Woods Comfort Systems. Folks, nobody does it better.
No, they do not. WoodsComfortSystems.com, 512-842-5066, their phone number. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Also, a shout out to Altstadt Beer. I had more than a few Altstats over the
weekend. Well, I bet you did.
It's down at the Oak Hill Lounge on Friday.
What?
It's pretty close to both of us.
You know what? All these years, I have never been in the Oak Hill Lounge. That's over there on the right side of the coming, if you're coming from town. Is that the one on the right side there?
It's like William Cannon and 71, basically right there.
I just have never felt, I always wanted to just, that was back in my drinking days even. Yeah. I said, you know what, I need to stop. If I was to stop at the Alligator Grill, I can't be worried about going to the Oak Hill Lounge. Just go in there and have one. I've never been in there. Is it okay?
Yeah, solid spot.
Do they serve food?
No.
Oh, we don't do food.
They serve popcorn. They give you free popcorn.
Oh, nice. They got a little popcorn machine.
And they're right next to a Via 313. So
that's true, right?
They let you order food and bring it in there, which is nice.
Nice.
Take that. But they also have Altstadt beer, which is the nicest. Had a couple of Hefeweizens on Friday watching the Indiana Oregon massacre, whatever that was. A few other Altstats over the weekend. Look, your football watching, if you've got a case of the Mondays and you need a cold beer to help get you through, whatever the occasion, Altstadt beer is perfect for you. Brewed locally in Fredericksburg, available all across the Lone Star State. They've got a bunch of different brews. So if Hefeweizen's not your thing, they've got a great lager. They've got a great Kolsch. They've got a light beer if you're trying to cut down on the calories in the new year. Something for everybody. And every Altstadt is brewed without preservatives or additives or unnecessary sugar, so you can feel good about what you're putting into your system. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities. No regrets.
Yeah, it's also a good day for the big man to head on out there and get himself a burger at Hat Creek Burger. Today's a double day. It's Monday. Kids are back in school. You know, lunchtime is going to be a great time for me to go get myself a double with cheese, pickles on the side, onions, mayo, mustard, and ketchup. I like it nasty. That's right. Slap it all on my burger. Get that lettuce on there. You know, they use iceberg lettuce. You know, iceberg lettuce doesn't have a lot of nutritional value. It's just water.
What do you mean? It's lettuce.
I know, but it has lettuce doesn't have really nutritional value. It's just stuff. But if there's iceberg lettuce in that, man, I'm going to have myself a double today. Sure. Big man needs to start off the week with something big, for sure. And they've got it. You know what? They have the strawberry shake with, put a little whipped cream on that with a cherry on the top. Sounds like a great day for me at lunchtime at Hat Creek Burger. Now, if you want to have a drink a little later on, get yourself a margarita there. They have that at a lot of their locations. They also serve breakfast at some of the locations starting at 7 a.m. Love Hat Creek Burger.
Yeah, they also have their Frito chili pie for a limited time.
Whoa.
Which now that it's kind of cold, I might have to get by there this week and try me that.
You guys have screwed up my chili thing ever since you started telling me about bad things of Wendy's. I have not had a fast food chili since then, but I may have to try this Frito. Plus, I'm not a Frito pie guy. If I'm ever going to try one, this is the place.
Well, if you're not a Frito pie guy, then stick to the burger. But if you are a good person and a real person who has taste, then you should go try the Frito pie at Hat Creek Burger Company. You know.
Thank you. Thank you for that tip. I may do that.
No thumps. Drew Gressett, former Texas basketball player, Hat Creek. He is not going to chop off his thumb and put it in.
Horns up, huh?
Your Hat Creek, yeah. Neither are those fingers either. He's out on that. Love Hat Creek Burger Company. Also love McCall Custom Homes. Our guy, Mike McCall, he's become a great friend of ours over the years. Like, this is a great dude, but okay, you care about the work that McCall Custom Homes does. That's fine. They do incredible work. Bucky has had work done at his place. He got that putting green in his backyard.
Yes.
With the folks at McCall Custom Homes. Rodney had his master bathroom renovated by McCall Custom Homes. It's not just us. These guys are A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. They have tons of 5-star reviews online. So if you want to upgrade, maybe you've been putting it off, How about a New Year's resolution to upgrade your space, new bathroom, new kitchen, new life to your outdoor space? Maybe you need to add on to your current place. Whatever it is, McCall Custom Homes can do it for you. It's a father-son team, tons of experience, and all of the experience has been right here in Central Texas, so they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly special. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Free estimates right now to TSU listeners, so head over there for more information, or you can reach out to our guy, Mike McCall, directly, 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
Somebody said, is that the old Detour Bar? Yes, it is.
Is that what it was? I know it has rebranded a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, and it's that's called Off the Beaten Path right there.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, man, I love that.
It's a good little dive bar, man. Like, it's got,
I love those. I'm the king of dive bars back in the day.
Pool table, dartboard.
Oh, yes. Smoke fill.
Smoke.
Hate smoke, but I always ended up in those places.
Yeah, I think they've got a nice patio where people smoke. I was hoping they would let them smoke inside, you know, but.
Well, it's good they don't have to have the dogs, dog pecker flies. Where we're allowed to bring the dogs, you know, eat with the people.
Maybe you can on the patio. I don't know.
Everybody can here.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm not looking at dogs peckers like you are.
No, can't help it when the flies are hanging around.
I don't think you have to look.
You know, you can't miss it. You can hear them buzzing. They're like it's like a beehive.
Yeah, and I keep my eyes up. I'm not looking at people's Johnsons, people's or dogs.
Or women, when you talk to them, you keep your eyes up.
Eyes up. Eye level all the time. We're always eye level.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Hey.
Sorry about that. My head was getting a little heavy.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I've had a long day. I'm tired, and all of a sudden you're just.
Yeah, of course.
Staring. Oh man. Hey, what a win for Texas basketball. How about as a 13.5-point underdog, the Longhorns go on the road and beat 13th ranked Alabama. 92-88, the final score.
I think you're gathered about three more fans, too. You're almost close to a dozen now.
All right. We're up to double digits. Is that what you're telling me?
Easily. You got at least 11. You guys added three more.
I saw enough people tweeting and posting about the game on Saturday night.
Oh, they're in? Are they all in now?
I think we're at least at 20.
Come on, man.
Will you give me 20?
I'm going to give you a dozen. I'm going to give you a dozen. That's it.
It's a great bounce back for Texas. Obviously, starting 0-2 in conference play, not a lot of reasons for optimism, especially after the Tennessee beatdown in the middle of last week. And look, with that road game at Alabama, again, 13.5-point dogs, we were staring an 0-3 start to SEC play right in the face. Not so fast, my friend. I mean, that's an Alabama team that made the Elite Eight last year. They made it to the Final Four 2 years ago, and they were the second highest ranked team in the SEC in the AP Top 25 last week. Like, that is a consistent program that has done a lot of winning under Nate Oates. And Texas went into their place. Not only did they win, Buck, they kind of controlled the game. Obviously, it ended close, but Texas led for 86% of the game. They pushed the lead to 13 a couple of times in the second half.
Yeah, look like a team with a purpose.
They did. The energy, the effort. Look, they got called out by their coach multiple times. But not only in the post-game press conference did they get called out. I mean, Sean Miller benched Jordan Pope, Dalen Swain, and Matas Vokatidis for like the last 15 minutes of that Tennessee game. He embarrassed those dudes by doing it. Like, that is embarrassing. When you get benched in a nationally televised game your coach is talking about effort in the post-game press conference, that's not a good look.
No, he's talking about you. That's who he's talking about.
Right. And there were a lot of people, I think, who were a little worried that maybe Sean Miller had lost the locker room. He's saying stuff like this, and it's year one, and maybe guys are checked out, and they don't care, and whatever. Clearly, he still has those guys' attention with the way that they played on Saturday. Now, I'm not saying it's the start of some amazing turnaround, and Texas is about to go on some crazy run, but you haven't lost the locker room if you're able to get that type of performance from your team. I could say that.
Well, the herky-jerky lefty looked good. I mean, he played with a purpose. He played with a lot of energy in that game. He looked like he forced a couple shots, but he took some shots where he went to the free throw line. I mean, he had guys trying to cover him as well as they could. He made some shots with guys on him tight. and some mid-range shots that generally, you know, he likes to get you up in the air and then go to the hoop. He was taking nice jumpers, I thought. You know, yeah. Had nice rhythm going for himself.
I agree. I agree. The Herkoff jerk-off lefty, as you call him, had a good game.
Jerky lefty.
18 points. Look, if you're going to beat a good team like that, especially on the road, you need your best players to be your best players. And Tremont Mark had 18. Dalen Swain had 18 and 8, and some key blocks on defense. And Jordan Pope had 0 points against Tennessee. And he only had 9 against Mississippi State on like a 3-for-14 shooting night. He had done nothing in the first two games in SEC play.
What is it that he did in that game? Because I didn't see the whole game. I just got bits and pieces of that game. What is he? How did he get off to a good start? Did he just hit some early jumpers? Did he take good shots, good quality shots? Is that what it was?
Well, he made 6 threes, and Alabama was going under screens on a lot to give him some good looks. But he also had a couple of mid-range buckets. Got to the foul line. Texas missed a bunch of free throws again as a team, but Jordan Pope was 6 of 6, hit some big ones in the final minute to put the game on ice. And he was great defensively too. He had 6 deflections in that game, which is a stat that Sean Miller really cares about. He was really good. Did Kyler Murray play for Alabama?
I mean, you said he had deflections?
Not shots blocked, like deflections of passes.
Oh, okay. He wasn't blocking anybody's shot.
No, he did not have 6 blocks in the
game. He wasn't D'ing him up that way.
No, well, he's not supposed to. That's not his job. It's like a 5'11 guy.
Well, yeah, but if he's covering another 5'11 guy, I hope he blocked one or two of them. But he got his hands. He was very active, huh?
Very active defensively. Yeah. Cool. And again, 0 points in the last game, sat out the last 14 minutes, got called out by his head coach, and he responded in a big, big way.
That's one of the better games he's had since he's been here.
Definitely. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. And yeah, I mean, obviously the game ended close, but again, Texas controlled it. They were up by 13 a couple of times in the second half. And every time Bama went on a run, I think so many Longhorn fans had the thought of, okay, here we go. Like, yeah, we played great for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes, but here's where it all starts to unravel. And the fans would get back into it. And, you know, Nate Oates is pumping up the crowd in that weird-ass blazer that he was wearing because he always dresses with those hoity-toity over-the-top blazers. And Texas responded. They got off the mat every time Bama threw a punch. Texas got up off the mat and punched right back. And, you know, Dalen Swain, a huge block late, some big buckets late. They made enough free throws and helped that Alabama also missed a bunch of free throws down the stretch. They got to win.
Well, that's got to make the coach feel good.
Yeah, here was Sean Miller after the game. We got some video with this audio here. Miller after the game, his opening thoughts on the Horns win and the biggest win of Sean Miller's young Texas tenure.
Tonight was obviously a big win for us, you know, getting off to a tough start at Tennessee, which I think is a very difficult game. And if you followed us, our opening game against Mississippi State was a great game, really blew a late lead. And sometimes when you lose that first one at home, it can lead to some next days, next games that maybe you're not quite off the mat, you know, up to the challenge. You're still sticking with that first experience that didn't go your way. So coming here 0-2, and the respect that we have for Alabama, for Nate and his team is immense. We knew we were in for a great challenge, and I'm just really proud of our team that we were able to come in here. Thought it was an amazing atmosphere, crowd, and for us to leave with the win, I think it gives us a real shot of confidence and an understanding of how hard you have to compete to have a chance to win in the SEC. Tonight we competed at a higher level than we have recently.
There you go. Competing at a higher level. You have to.
He's right. They competed at an incredibly high level, and they didn't stop competing. And he's right. Like, if that's the message Miller has been preaching in practice, like, you've got to work that hard, and you have to be doing that for 40 minutes every time we take the floor to win games in this league, then, yeah, he got his proof, because Texas they were diving on the floor for loose balls. They were jumping in passing lanes. They were after it on Saturday. A very inspired performance after a lackluster one in that Tennessee game.
What did the big man end up with?
Bogatitis didn't have a great game. 8 points, 6 boards.
He had more than one board than he did against Tennessee, right?
Yeah, played 18 minutes. They were doing a lot of offense-defense subs with him and Traore down the stretch. You know, Vokatidis doesn't give you a whole lot on defense, and he doesn't rebound all that well. But he came in, made some free throws, which helped. Texas, I mean, they got to work on their free throws, man. Like, they missed.
That's going to cause them to lose more games than they're going to win if they do that.
Well, they kind of lucked out. Like, the Longhorns went 22 of 32 at the free throw line, which is not good. That's 69%. No. That's a failing grade. But thankfully, Alabama was 70%. They were 19 of 27. So they missed a bunch late that could have made this game look very, very different. Yeah, the Longhorns have been just one of the worst free throw shooting teams in America all year long, and it's going to cost them. I mean, you could argue it did against Mississippi State. They already lost an overtime game. Yes. If they had a couple more freebies, they would have won. So the evidence is already right there. But a big win. Also, during the telecast, Buck, you know, Sean Miller clearly trying to create a culture in his first year. They talked about Sean Miller telling a specific player. I got to go back and see if I could find it. I looked a little bit last night and couldn't. But apparently Sean Miller, during shoot-arounds before the game, told a player, quote, if playing for me is too hard for you, we can figure out a way for you to leave, end quote.
Ooh.
Said that during shoot-around on a game day. So the guy is not messing around. It's not just
giving him messages on game day, huh?
Giving him messages on game day. Like, this dude, you know, played in the Big East Conference back in the 80s. He ain't soft. Never has been. Never will be. So he's got a lot to fix with this team, and he had a big undertaking with this job, and he's trying to do it the right way, and I respect that. And he's holding his guys accountable, and these dudes are professional athletes now. They should be held accountable.
Well, yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have to tell a guy he's got to hustle for 40 minutes. I mean, they should know that's what you got to do. That's what it takes to win games in the SEC. Can't play a half a game.
If playing for me is too hard for you, we can figure out a way for you to leave.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that. I love that. You don't hear too many stories like that in 2020.
Oh, no, he's been kind of great with his messaging.
As long as he stays consistent, I think that's what guys are looking for in that locker room. And again, clearly the team has not tuned him out. You don't tune out your coach and put on a performance like that on Saturday. So, look, a lot of work to do. Texas is still not a tournament team. They need to stack more quality wins to even get back in that conversation. Sure. They've got a big one on Wednesday. Vanderbilt, undefeated, top 10, the best team in the SEC right now, here in Austin on Wednesday. That's a big one. And obviously, if you win that one, all of a sudden the whole conversation starts to change with what this team can be.
Is that an SEC telecast game that's going to be played at like 8 at night or some weird time?
8 o'clock, Buck. Get you a nap on Wednesday.
Wow.
We're gonna need you on that wall of watching Texas.
That's good.
I'm hoping to be there. I got to find me a ticket for that game, and I'm hoping to be there.
Send text tickets.
Wednesday night. Yeah, send text tickets is where to go.
That, absolutely right.
So that'll be good.
That's great. So what happened to the ladies? Did they just run into a Hall of Famer?
I guess they did run into a Hall of Famer. Yep, the Texas women's basketball team suffered its first loss of the season yesterday in Baton Rouge. 70-65, the final. Ugly game, sloppy. Texas had 17 turnovers. LSU had 16. Yeah. I mean, both teams really struggled to get things going offensively.
Well, they were trying to get that ball deep down in the post an awful lot, and there were a lot of hands around some of the passes I saw.
Yeah, Rory Harmon had a really rough day. She got benched for the entire fourth quarter. I mean, 2 points, 1 of 7 shooting, a few turnovers, just didn't have it. Texas didn't get enough from its role players. Bria Cunningham and Ashton Judd combined for 0 points on 0 of 9 shooting. Just wasn't Texas's day. And look, LSU's a really good team. It was a sellout crowd. They've got a Hall of Fame coach. And oh, look what Kim Mulkey was wearing.
I know. She's got her bell bottoms on, too.
What is that? The gold dusted suits?
Oh, yeah. That's that. She had it going yesterday.
With the black undershirt. She's rocking the tiger print gold and black striped heels.
That's the one Jay likes right there.
No, it's not. There's nothing that Jay likes about that woman.
There's a lot to like about that right there.
I was going to say, there's everything that you like about that woman. Hey, look, Buck, at that pose, dude. Like, that's right before the game.
Hey, Buck, come here. Come here. Take a seat beside me. Let me tell you what I'm expecting from you and our next rendezvous.
That's what she's power stance right there, isn't it?
All she has to do is pat the seat a couple times, and I'd have come out of the stands and sat right there.
Well, she'll be in town in a couple of weeks. Texas will be looking for some revenge, and you can get your opportunity to post up right next to Coella de Mulkey.
Look at that look.
Yeah, look at that. Dude, once I saw that she was wearing that, I was like, uh-oh. We are in some trouble today.
Golden black. She was in golden black.
She was not messing around. And Vic Schaefer, I didn't cut this up. I might cut it up tomorrow. But Vic Schaefer is not happy with the SEC because Texas, I mean, they had to play at LSU. LSU is one of the best teams in the league. That's a tough game. The next game for the Longhorns is at South Carolina. Texas already beat South Carolina once this year, by the way, but it was a neutral site game very early. Now they've got to go on the road against that team with those dudes, as you like to say, Buck.
Oh my God, they got to go to those dudes' house.
And Vic Schaefer's like, look at everyone else's schedule. They don't have to play these two games back to back. Why did the SEC do this? And you know, Texas haters are like, well, that's pretty soft. Like, whatever, it's the schedule. Go win. But I know, yeah, Vic Schaefer going viral a little bit yesterday for calling out the conference for like, you guys really couldn't separate these two games. You're going to give us this gauntlet back to back like that?
No, coach, go win.
Yeah, I
go win.
I love Vic Schaefer. He's done a great job, but sometimes the schedule Fs you over, you know?
Yeah, so just go win.
Just go win. Go win the games. And look, they'll get another crack at LSU once again. It's a really good team. And Texas has already beaten South Carolina once, so hopefully they can find a way to do it again on Thursday.
Yeah, I just thought they were trying to get that ball in the post. Just so often they wanted to, you know, they wanted to run it through to the young lady in the middle, and there were just a lot of hands, a lot of deflections in that game. I thought LSU was pretty aggressive when it came to attacking, you know, the post players.
Yeah, no, they played great defense. Give them credit. I mean, they forced a lot of Texas's mistakes, and it was a physical game. LSU was a better team yesterday. So you tip the cap. They've got a great program and a great coach, and golly, the fit. I mean, what can you say? That is sparkly gold. There's gold, and then there's like sparkly gold that she knew was a nationally televised game.
Of course she did.
She brought her best, her Sunday best, to the PMAC. Yeah,
she probably went to church. She probably went to church in that outfit.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
God, if Kim Mulkey showed up at your church, are you like sitting that? Next to her? Or are you sitting as far away from her as possible?
Oh, if nobody sits next to her, I'm going to sit right next to her.
What if you have your wife there with you? What if she's got two seats next to you? You're with your wife, but there's two seats next to.
Oh no, I'm sitting beside Kim, and my wife can sit on the other side of me.
You're in the middle.
I'm the middle. Yes.
Yeah, who are you talking to? Hey, wife, hang on. Let me have this conversation. I see you all the time. Like,
yeah, I just had to. I talked to Kim. I have to talk to her about the service. Do you come here often? What's the deal? When are you coming here next?
Do you come here often? Yeah. When do you? Yeah. Just text me when you're coming here next. You know. Just let me know.
Heck yeah! Wow.
Yeah. So she.
You need somebody to park your ride for you.
Oh, yeah. Park your ride somewhere. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Jay's liking that outfit. She's gonna come back here flashy, too, believe me.
Oh, she will. There's no doubt. And that will be, I'm sure, a nationally televised game whenever it happens. February 5th is when it's going to happen. She doesn't mess around with the big matchups. And she brought it yesterday. So there you go. Congrats to LSU. Hopefully Texas can bounce back. NFL playoffs, Buck. I mean, real quick, shout out to Hecht Law Firm, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, the best personal injury attorney in Central Texas, your go-to personal injury attorney in Texas. He texted me over the weekend that a TSU listener reached out. Need him for a case. We trust this guy. He's the best. He's been a friend of mine for over a decade. He fights for justice and big results. He's been doing that for more than a decade. And you are going to get to work with Hurricane Hecht. When you call the Hecht Law Firm, he's not going to pawn you off on somebody. You get to work with the guy whose name is on the firm. Those people you see on TV and billboards and buses, no, that's not the case. You don't work with them. They're too busy filming TV commercials and doing photo shoots and hosting podcasts with little girls. Weird. You don't get that with Hurricane Hecht. You're going to get to work with him. And he's going to fight. to put every single dollar in your pocket that you deserve. Let them blow their case wide open and let them flood your pockets with cash. He's the best in the business. All you have to do is give him a call whenever you need him. 512-938-8929 or hechtlawfirm.com.
Sweet.
I don't even know where to begin with the NFL. It was so good. I guess we could just go in order. There were five games played on Saturday and Sunday. Four of them were epic. Last night's Patriots-Chargers game, not great, but even that one was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, so it's not like it was a total blowout from start to finish. But, I mean, Saturday afternoon, Buck, we could start there. The Rams surviving, scoring a touchdown with 38 seconds left to beat the Carolina Panthers on the road. The Rams were 10.5-point favorites, and they needed all 60 minutes to escape.
Or did they ever, yes.
Carolina,
their defense is going to have to play a little bit better than they played.
No doubt. Yeah, Panthers put up a great fight. Bryce Young had a really good game. Coker had a really good game on the outside. That was back and forth throughout.
Yeah, Carolina's defense is pretty good.
Yeah, well, they gave up that long touchdown drive.
Yeah.
Right? Carolina took a late lead in the fourth, and Rams got the ball down by 4, 2 minutes, 38 seconds left. Matt Stafford, who for my money is the MVP of the NFL this year. I know postseason games don't matter in that equation.
Oh, no, he's already got that, I believe.
But that was like an MVP kind of moment for him. 71-yard drive. He went 6 of 7 on that final possession. Obviously, the touchdown to Colby Parkinson.
Oh, that was a great pass. Right where only his guy could get that ball.
Perfect ball. Yeah, great grab by Parkinson. Yeah, and the Rams finally got the stop that they needed in the final seconds. That was awesome. Then Saturday night, Bears-Packers. One of the best rivalries in the sport.
Bears are getting it done late, aren't they, in these games?
The Cardiac Bears is what they're calling them, and that's what they've been under Ben Johnson this year. And I still, 2 days later, Buck, I have no idea how Green Bay lost that game.
And when it was 24-3, I got disinterested in the game. I started watching Westerns. I was like, but you had this, I had this feeling that they had so many opportunities to drive that into the 40s if they needed to. And they didn't do it. They had too many three and outs. For the Packers. They just didn't sustain anything after they jumped with that big lead. I'm like, guys, you keep getting these three and outs, they're going to catch you.
Right.
They did.
They were up 21-3 at halftime. They were up 21-6 going into the fourth quarter. And the biggest comeback win in Bears playoff history, just a total choke job. Yeah, the Packers offensively got cold. Obviously, it didn't help that their kicker missed a field goal and an extra point. You know, in a game that they lost by 4, they could have used those 4 points.
Sure.
And, I mean, the Bears offense, 4 fourth-quarter drives, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Wow.
Caleb Williams looked in over his head. He looked like rookie year Caleb Williams in the first half, 2.5 quarters. And then he turned it on, and the Bears turned it on, and it's just it was incredible. It was so fun to watch. I don't like the Bears at all, but I cannot stand the Green Bay Fudge Packers. That was so glorious to watch that implosion on national TV on Saturday night.
You know, the guy that they wanted so bad, Micah Parsons, they miss him desperately.
They did.
When it comes to getting a pass rush.
Yeah, they couldn't get a pass rush, right, without Micah. And that shows how good he is because the Cowboys couldn't get a pass rush all year without him. And
yes,
once the Packers lost him, they couldn't get any pass rush. So, yeah, just total toe job by Green Bay. Now I'm not sure if Matt LaFleur is going to be back next year. He's apparently meeting with, the GM and ownership today to figure out a future plan for them. I think he'll be back, but boy, they've had some tough playoff losses under his.
Yes, they have.
Tutelage. And that was the worst one.
Dude, that lead they had, they should have built on that lead. They didn't build on that whatsoever.
Oh, and to a rival, too. Like, that would have been bad to anybody, but to one of your biggest rivals to cough that up.
And their running back was healthy, right, and they still couldn't get it done when they had that lead.
No. And then on the Sunday, it was just as good yesterday. How about that Bills-Jags game? Thriller. Speaking of back and forth, you had 4 lead changes in the fourth quarter. And Josh Allen, the game-winning touchdown run on a quarterback sneak with just over a minute to go. I didn't think the Bills should have scored that quick, right? That's a conversation the TV broadcasters were having, and everyone on Twitter was like, what? Take a knee a couple of times and then QB sneak it in.
Yeah, they let them do that deal. Those guys just fell down.
Right. The Jags were trying to let him score, and Buffalo acquiesced, but Trevor Lawrence thankfully threw a pick on the first play of the Jags drive.
Oh, man.
What Trevor Lawrence does.
Now, was that a cover by Jacksonville?
No.
What?
You went 2-4 in your picks, but you did go up 50,000 units because your two biggest plays were Indiana and the Patriots. Those were the two you got right. You missed your other four. You got those two right.
Indiana. That was easy. That was easy.
Yeah.
I didn't get to my cousin on that one.
That's a mistake by you. And you also had the Eagles yesterday. And down goes Philly. The defending champs are out. We will have a new Super Bowl winner in the NFL. San Francisco, they are so banged up. And they lose George Kittle early in the game. And yet they go on the road as a nearly 6-point dog. Another great game. Couple of lead changes in the fourth quarter there. How about the wide receiver reverse pass call for Kyle Shanahan? First play of the fourth quarter.
Awesome.
Team down, pulls that rabbit out of his hat. And then another big touchdown by San Francisco on a third and goal. They get the turnover on downs on defense. A.J. Brown, who was complaining and yelling at Nick Sirianni, he drops a huge pass on that final drive. He dropped like
three balls in that game.
Rough game for him.
He won't be there with them next year.
Should have been.
They're going to part ways with that dude.
I'd be right. Should have been reading a book or something on the sideline like he did last year. Maybe that was his mistake. Yeah, if you're going to be all about you, it's okay. You just have to be good.
Yeah, I mean, three of those balls were catchable balls, easy.
Yeah, some bad ones there. So big win for the Niners. I wanted both teams to lose, but I'll take San Francisco winning there.
Are the Patriots really that good?
No, I don't think so. And their defense looked really good last night. But Drake May had some first playoff game jitters. Now, second half, he got better. Great touchdown pass to Hunter Henry. That was a beautiful ball. But I don't think the Patriots are unbeatable. And they will get the winner of the Texans and the Steelers. So if the Texans take care of business tonight, they will be in New England next week. And I think that's a game the Texans could win.
Yeah, I don't know if the Texans – what is the line here tonight?
3.
They're favored still, right?
Yep. What you got? You got something for the people? You are you did gain 50,000 units this weekend, but you're still down 50,000 units on the season. So
I'll go even tonight and take the Texans for 50,000 units.
What have Texans fans done to you?
Listen. You thought that Indiana-Oregon game was going to be close. That thing was like, I should have gone a boatload in that. I will for the national championship game. Miami will get beat by 2 touchdowns against that group.
Yeah, that's closer than what anybody else has done against Indiana in the playoffs.
I know. How about that?
Amazing what they are doing. So you're going with the Texans tonight?
I want the Texans.
I'm going with the Texans as well. Aaron Rodgers against an elite defense. I don't trust him at this stage in his career. I think it'll be ugly. I think it'll be nasty. I think it'll be like 17-13, but I think Houston will tough it out and grind out a victory.
Yeah, they got to score some points tonight, Houston.
But Houston has never won a road playoff game, and the Steelers have won something like 22 straight home Monday night games.
Monday night game again.
Yeah, so it'll be cold, it will be loud, and it will be a tall task for Houston, but I think they are the better side. So I'm picking them.
Aaron Rodgers will not be holding on to that ball very long tonight. Plus, they'll have their receiver back.
Needs to be protecting his balls tonight with that Texans pass rush. Sure. Make sure he's got the cup locked up, ready to roll. All right, let's bring on the boys here. We got a video that Double R sent me last night that we might have to show here during a little crosstalk. It's Wags, it's Double R. On location, where are you this morning, Waldo?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, my man. I'm in enemy territory.
Yeah, we do hate the Golden Hurricane, that's for sure.
That's exactly who I'm talking about.
Did you lose a bet?
That is right, my friend.
Did you lose a bet or something?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It's a do it or else type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bet with the boss.
Picking bet straws. With the boss. You got pulling straws.
So if you got...
It's cold over here, boys. It's cold.
Cold. What are we talking? It's cold here today.
Is it? It's 33 here. 33.
That's cold.
Yeah.
Feels like 26, BK. It's one of those.
It was 38 when Buck and I started the show this morning. We're at 43 now, so a little warmer.
Yeah,
it's not too bad. Like
60.
Feels like, I don't know about that. How about a fight?
In the sun, it does. In the sun, it feels like 60.
Is that like a real stat, or are you guys just saying?
That's a real stat. My skin just reported that.
Good job. There you go. Now we got a new reporter.
Your pores.
I got one of those rings on.
Mood ring?
Skin turn.
Aura. They say it's a mood ring. It's something good for my mood, though.
Does it work?
Ooh.
I need to get one if it works.
Nice. It works. Oh, it works.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. This ain't a ring you put on your finger, Buck. Not sure if you're following. quick video, guys, if you would like. Double R sent me this one, so thank you, Double R, citing my sources.
Absolutely.
Here. Absolutely. We go to one of my favorite places in the world for this clip. That is 6th Street, Austin, Texas, USA, America. One of the best places. Some have called it the 8th wonder of the world. I'm not some, but I don't disagree.
I actually think I sent this video to my son and said, why would anyone go here?
Okay, well, let's check it out. Yep, here is some footage on the sidewalk of 6th Street from the weekend. Gentlemen, we have ourselves a cat fight.
America's finest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of ladies. We got two sets of two ladies going after it here, wailing on each other.
Calzones.
A lot of hair pulls going on. A lot of skin being shown.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of short shorts.
Lots of short shorts. We got some girl trying to break up. Here comes the cop.
He just ain't even putting up with the shit. He's just like, yeah, we're done.
But he ain't spraying anybody. He's just spraying him on the back, just trying to cool him down.
He's just giving him some back shots, Buck.
Yeah, good job. Good job by him.
I think the cop might have liked to have done something like that. Here you go. We got the handcuffs. And the girl, it sucks for the girl in white. She was the one trying to break up the fight, and she's getting cuffed.
Yeah. And then the ref. This guy comes over. Now, how bad do you really want to get out of those handcuffs?
I mean, this is some good stuff here. This is not your typical cat fight, just slapping.
Did we see the woman, the lady coming in after trying to get her 15 minutes or her little mug?
Leopard underwear.
I see some pantalones.
Yeah, calzones, man. Chones. I see some chones.
Wags, I cut that part out. There was like this video went on for another 30 seconds, but nothing really happened. It was just people getting arrested. But there was some girl who like got in front of the camera and just started
Michael Vick
modeling and posing.
Of course.
You're right. All right. The girl in the white dress was trying to break it up and she's going to jail.
Yeah.
She's the first one.
There's footage, though. The footage is going to protect her, right? Like,
yeah.
Once the cops get their hands on this, she's trying to say, I didn't do anything. And then it didn't matter.
The cops is like, once I get a little feel here, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
It's like in football, guys. When you retaliate, you're the one that's going to get called. You're the one that's going to get called. That's what happened right there.
Yeah.
Always a second person.
There you go. So, hey.
Why would anyone want
to? Obviously, Jack Wagon never treated me like that.
Oh, he didn't try to cop a feel like the TSA agents do for you? No, you always talk about the TSA agents like trying to cop a feel on you.
Oh, they're always trying to make sure that you're secure.
They're always getting a freebie. They're getting a freebie from me all the time. Like, hey, let me give you a little cup check. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, you walk in there and say, I have a gun every time you walk through. So, of course, you're going to get pelt up. Like, you're trying. You're asking for it, huh?
No, I show them my ticket that has my old man thing. I'm not supposed to be mugged here. Well, and then they, of course, they tell you, the lady says, I have to have this other officer check you. I'm like, why, how did you get the job? Didn't you have to check up underneath that hood there yourself? Or are you just
taking
tickets? I'm like, I would rather have you do it. She goes, no, I have to call Sydney over there. Sydney Portier, and he needs to come over here and check you.
Oh, Sydney is a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You know who Sydney Portier is, don't you?
Yeah. Sydney, yeah.
I'm talking to BK. Buck, I know you do. I'm talking to BK. BK doesn't?
I don't know who that is.
He doesn't watch any movies. He's never seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
That's a movie?
Yeah.
That's a classic. You need to see that. It's a classic.
I've never heard of that, gents.
Come on.
I know who Sydney Portier, however you say that name. I know who that is. I do know who that is.
The night.
The last time you probably saw Sydney Portier in a movie was probably White Man's Burden.
That was you're talking about me,
Sydney Portier. He was the rich African American man.
He wouldn't see him. They all look alike to him.
Is this guy Asian or something?
No, he's a black dude, very black. Almost, he's so black he's blue.
Purple. Come on now.
He's an older black gentleman. Yes. He's an older black gentleman.
He is he's dead. So
yes, he's been dead for a while, has he?
R.I.P.
2022, not too long.
Not too long ago.
What is he in his was he in his 80s, late 80s?
94.
Wow.
I didn't realize he made it that long. I honestly thought he was still with us.
Oh, guess who's man, 94. That's nice. That sounds like a nice five number for the buck.
Guess who's
we're
coming?
We're gonna keep you going. You're gonna try and tap out. We're just gonna keep you here, buddy. No.
If I keep getting beat up by the dog and falling down and hitting my face and things like that, no.
We're gonna put you next to Brenda and her family falling over that little statue and whatever. And you're
oh, don't do that. Every time I see that, I think about me. That's how I go down now. I truly go down that way.
No, there he goes. Look.
That's how I go. That's me now.
Oh, Brenda.
Oh, no. Joyce. And the mom
Joyce
is
will help you out. Joyce is going to be there to help you out. Joyce ain't going to let you fall.
The grandma's like, damn, again. Here we go again.
I get yelled at now. I don't get any sympathy.
She's like, don't even get up.
I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, my God, Buck.
Can you see it? You can see it now.
Who did that, Joyce?
I saw a little bit of the squirrel kiss when you had the hat on there.
No, it's totally rimmed all the way around.
Jesus.
The dog punched me in the face. The dog jumped up with his paws and went whack.
Perfect size to get in there too, right?
Oh, that big old 145 pounder got me across. But it didn't get my eyeball. It just got over the top and underneath, and the blood started to, whatever it does, filter through, but it didn't get into my eye. But it's underneath my lid. Joyce is like yelling at me. She goes, why are you playing with the dog? The kids play with the dog. You're a grown-up. Throw the dog a bone and run in the house or something. She goes, but don't play with him. He's bigger than you.
It keeps us young.
Joyce is yelling at him after she punched him. I think she said, don't play with the dog. Then she punched him.
I like to get more sympathy as I get older. I'm getting less sympathy. It's now that I'm doing dumber things. I'm like, playing with the dog isn't all that dumb, is it? I don't know.
The dog's bigger than you, so.
BK, think about these things before you do the deal, you know, as time goes on. Really think about how your independence has been so wonderful in your life.
Oh, no.
Because with time, it doesn't get like better. It doesn't like you just get used to each other. It just, as you get older, it seems like you do dumber things. I haven't done anything really dumb.
All right. Well,
I think you also get on the same page so much better that you communicate without even talking to each other. You just kind of look at each other and you're just communicating without even opening.
Just nod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. It all changes after a while. So it used to be like when I would get on the road, I would get like a phone call from my wife, you know, at night. Hey, I'm going to bed. Good night. You know, love you, whatever. Now I just get a text going to bed. I'm like,
things like that on Sundays at my house, because my wife is very religious. She's big into her Bible and stuff. If I don't talk to her on Sundays, because all she'll do is she'll point like I'm listening to Jesus point two or something, you know? And it's the whole day. It's like, I don't talk to her because I know that there's something and she points at herself. I've never seen anybody with the phone like this, like her. I thought I used to be on the phone a lot. She's always
racking up that screen time. The last time that I deployed, we went to Afghanistan for the last time, my wife didn't even get up. It was like 10 p.m. We were leaving on a red eye to get out of there, out of Hawaii. But we were getting ready to go down to the loading dock. And, of course, you get your call. You're just like, hey, you got to muster around 2,200 or something like that. So I'm just like, hey, babe, I'm stepping off. I'll be back when I'm back. Right. You know, you never know if anything's going to happen. And she just didn't get up to give me a hug or kiss or nothing. She goes, hey, your Nalgene water bottle is in the fridge. Make sure you take it.
That's it. Don't worry about the bullets or anything else.
Don't forget your water bottle. That's it.
It's taking up space in my fridge. So get it out of here.
Get your stuff out of here. I got some yogurt to put in there. Come on.
And that was it. That was that. And you know, when you're over there, you kind of don't want to hear from anybody either. You know, you just kind of want to have stuff on your, you know, stuff focused and locked in, man. You want to get positive points.
That's me when I'm here.
Just
leave me alone.
Your apartment living, BK, is fabulous, BK. Don't ever think it's not.
No,
you're going to do fine.
We'll see. We will see. I don't know. After this conversation, might have a call I need to make after the show.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Somebody has to take care of your ass.
There's a lot of ass to take care of, you know.
All right, boys.
See you guys tomorrow.
Stay safe, boys. Stay safe.